con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hi and welcome to Season 2 of Good for Construction. In Season 2, we talk to people who've studied architecture but have ventured into creating and choosing a different field as a profession. Through the conversations with our guests in Season 2, we track their career trajectories and see the paths that they've chosen and how they've landed up in the career and the profession that they have right now. Before we begin, we'd like to let you know that our podcast is available on a bunch of platforms like Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Castbox. You can download any of these applications from the Google Play Store or App Store. Subscribe to our channel on any of these podcast applications to stay updated. Also, follow us on social media platforms like Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for behind-the-scene updates and pictures. Our handle is at Good for Construction Podcast. And today in studio, we have an architect turned illustrator who runs a venture called Kalakari Hath. Kalakari Hath, or the Skilled Hands, is an exploration of architecture and illustration. They work in different design disciplines impacting space. The designs are inspired from traditional handcrafts of India, among many others. Kalakari Hath works extensively with traditional craftsmen. To borrow terminology from her website, we welcome the first karigar, Sahiba Madan. Welcome to the studio, Sahiba.
Hi, Isha. Lovely to be here. I'm so happy we could kind of do this.
Sahiba, how would you define Kalakari Hath?
I think Kalakari Hath has kind of evolved in what it stands for. But in a sense, it's a practice that's kind of, you know, exploring architecture and illustration. And we're basically trying to amalgamate or kind of find our niche in space design. Like basically design that's impacting space at large. Yeah.
And do you have a vision for that space? Well, if you talk about in terms of style of illustration.
Right, like, so the inspiration, I think we're lucky enough to have a very inherent style in whatever we're doing, right?
Yeah.
So the inspiration is largely coming from, you know, this idea of making the tradition, like the traditional kind of design or, you know, like whether it's building crafts or, you know, just handcrafts, all of that just relevant to something that makes sense today or like, you know, something that like a layperson today can kind of, you know, relate to. And don't look at it as, oh, ye to, you know.
Look at it as foreign maybe or something that's new.
New, that's okay, you know. Like, I mean, I know it is Indian or traditional, but it's still pretty, it can still be cool.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I think your work is, it brings together these two things, which is a mixture of two, three different traditional drawing styles.
Right.
Like Madhubani and
Goa. Kalamkari, miniature, a lot of it. Mostly it's like this large bank because we do have, right? Like that's the beautiful part about coming from a country like India.
Yes.
You already do have so much inspiration already around you,
I agree.
Know.
I agree.
And
I think it's high time people tap into it. I mean,
exactly,
we
right?
We have so much to tap into. But then it is, I feel like it's the coming together of that style, a very Indian style, but it's so context relevant. Like,
right.
It's so relatable.
Relatable, and I also feel like over the past, there has been an effort. Like people are kind of, you know, if I look at fashion industries, you look at some of even the architecture practice, I feel like people are kind of getting into it.
Yeah.
But I feel like the impact has to be much larger.
Yeah.
Like right now it's starting.
Yeah.
It's starting. So that's the good part actually.
Yeah, definitely. So Sahiba, to give our listeners some context, could you share your academic journey?
Right. I studied architecture for 5 years from Kamala Raheja, which is Bombay based.
Yeah.
It's in Juhu. Right. And then after that, I worked as an intern at Abraham John Architects, which was a short internship.
Yeah.
And then post that, I also worked at Lab Architects, which is in Juhu. It's basically Shonan Trihanpuri.
Achha.
It's her. She's the principal architect there.
Okay.
And there, that's where I spent maximum amount of my work experience, you know, in working in a firm.
Yeah.
So I was there for over 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Right. And somewhere along the end of that is when I started taking on freelance projects. So for about a year, a little less than a year or about a year, I was doing freelance as well as a full-time job. And then when it got like out of hand, when I just couldn't handle like, you know, so much, I decided to kind of commit to Kalakari Hath full-time. Yeah.
And what year did you graduate in?
I graduated in 2012-13.
Ah, nice. That's when I joined college.
Okay.
So, when did you recognize your interest in illustrations? Was it during architecture? Was it in school? Or was it even before that?
So it's really funny. I feel like I've been drawing since I was a child.
Hmm.
My mom is the principal of S&DT, and at that time she was a professor there.
Yeah.
And there was a play school which was attached to it or close by. So she used to drop me off there.
Hmm.
And then she had college till whatever. Like play school is what, 2 hours or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She used to drop me off there. And then I used to get done. And she still had college till like 3 or 4. So for those 2 or 3 hours, I was just stationed on her desk. And she used to leave me with one piece of paper and some pens. And I used
crayons,
to
be... Crayons.
Yeah. Not even crayons, just pens. Anything that I could use to draw with. So I've drawn on everything from wrappers to papers to like her bills to her prints. You know, they earlier used to use presentation clip with transparencies, OHP sheets. On those also, I've drawn on everything. So I've been drawing since I was at like that little. I remember we had done this trip to Leh Ladakh in second year of college. And
College took you to Leh.
Leh, yeah. And we did the old town Leh. Which is, which actually got washed out because of flood. So we had measured on the entire town. Huh? So, Leh is like, it's beautiful, right? And it's got all these like textures of like stone and, multiple types of stone.
And very highly tactile environment.
Yeah. And it's also not very dense foliage.
Yes.
But it's also like a lot of like architectural textures, right? Like you'll see a lot of like materials.
Yeah.
So I ended up just as a documentation, I ended up using like rotring pens and sitting and to some extent I was like using a GT table and just drawing out just like facades of stone and then just rendering with them. So I made like I think about 10 or 12 of those, and then everyone was like, okay,
This is good.
And everyone was like, okay, you can do this as well as documentation.
Yeah.
And it became like my style. Like I realized that pen is something that I love working with. And then over the years, third year, fourth year, I started using drawing or illustration as a very strong medium in whatever process I was trying to,
For expression.
For expression. And I think that way college was really like lenient. We were not bound by, presenting in a certain medium. We could just, illustrate, we could draw, we could photograph it.
Very accommodating.
Accommodating. So I think when I realized that I actually enjoy doing this is when I was working on my thesis, right? In the fifth year, I was studying traditional building crafts, not handicrafts, but building crafts. So basically, methods of construction and building and how, the master craftsmen were basically the people running the, in place of the architect. Like, we are equivalent to somewhere of them, right?
So was it context specific or was it generally like pan-India?
It was pan-India.
Acha.
And then I kind of narrowed down to one site.
Acha.
And
which
then kind of... It was in Ramgarh, which is in Rajasthan, in the Shekhawati region of Rajasthan.
Oh, wow.
Right. So, very like, plenty of culture, So, when I was illustrating, I was documenting my process. And because this was such an intensive research project, so I had to figure out a way to document these things.
Yeah.
And which is when I decided that why not illustrate these as postcards.
Yeah.
And then I did. And then I ended up hand-rendering my thesis sheets.
Entire thesis sheets
are hand-rendered. And I realized when I was actually composing it as a panel for, you have the gold medal jury, right?
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I actually received a citation for. Yeah. But...
the Charles Correa Foundation.
Yeah. So I was actually composing the panel. I realized that, I actually really enjoy doing this. I like putting, like, I not only like drawing, but I also like composing things in larger kind of, canvases.
Yeah.
And then I said that, maybe this is something that, I can kind of consider.
Mm.
So that was like the first
thought
that first maybe, this is something that I can do. Maybe
during your thesis.
Later, like after it presented.
Huh.
So that jury is generally like towards after you've presented, you're doing your... internship is when they call you in and to do that. So that's the time.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I mean, so were you making art pieces even like during college, or did you realize that during your thesis while you were rendering it that, oh, this is something that I really like?
No, but I honestly don't think it was so much to do. I don't think I realized that this is something that has potential of like a professional potential. Even much later, even after. I think I realized it only when I like decided to take on freelance projects and then finally quit my job.
Oh, okay.
Before
that, during college, were you... like, was painting and drawing like a hobby? Was it ongoing along with
absolutely. And it was always integrated with what work I was doing.
Ah, okay,
So like the process was never complete without me sketching, and to the point that people actually knew that, okay, she's gonna draw like all these things and come. Like I have like hand rendered most of my sheets, I think.
So you were known as a
person who is drawing all everything. Or rendering.
That's very nice. So how did architecture school help you in the process of cultivating drawing as a hobby and later, you know, as a profession?
So I feel like I've been lucky enough to be schooled in the college that I did, right? Mm. Like, so the college that I actually like studied from, although they come under Bombay University, but they're kind of, they figure out, they stick within the syllabus, but the way they construct the course is kind of more, it's something that's more specific to the college.
It's independent.
It's quite independent, right? Like compared to what the rest of the colleges in Bombay are doing. And I feel like that actually was really helpful because I remember our first ever, you know, you have like an orientation workshop before you join, get into first year.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the, like, that and the first year was like the toughest phases of architecture. Mm. Yeah. But you know, for more than anything else, it was like, so I remember the first thing was to basically come up with a story, which is essentially like a thriller or a suspense story. Okay. And it could be something that's personal.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that, you know, you've come up with, you've made up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then those translated into these large newsprint drawings that we had to make and like kind of depict them.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't necessarily have to be like, okay, like a graphic novel.
Yeah.
But they could just be like sketches that convey like a story or a mood or like in like the moment, you know, that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that then transitioned into, so my project was more about like this, it was a game.
Okay.
So we ended up constructing a game, which was kind of impact based.
Achha.
So it was like a ball which goes through this entire journey and then like, you know how the domino effect is?
Yeah,
essentially what
the game was,
achha. Right? Achha. And so that you had to construct also. We built everything. We were drilling and doing all of those things.
Achha.
But the idea that something as like an episode that has happened, like, you know, like a story can become something, which is so tangible and you can touch and feel it, is something that I feel like I learned in college, right? Like, and then to even like other projects, like we were given tarot cards, we had to pick up tarot cards and then abstract concepts from it, which then eventually became into a built form.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, like we went through like a fair amount of, you know, which I'm saying it was tough because how much can you abstract from like a tarot card, right?
I agree. Yeah.
But it pushed you, like, and you didn't realize that you can actually, you know, create concepts or create a process from it.
Yeah.
So I think just like thinking beyond your kind of, you know, then like I hate this term, but you know, like out of the box. Like literally, you know, it was something like that.
Yeah. It's very cliched, but I think it's.
It made
required.
Sense. Yeah, yeah.
It is required, especially in first year when you're literally pulling apart.
Yeah, you're like just thrown in the deep end, right?
Yeah,
you have to.
Like, everything you know is a lie.
Is a lie, yeah. I know. And another thing actually I do want to add is I feel like having worked not as an architect and but like in this in-between kind of design world, I feel like the course in itself like prepares you to take on something, but you're automatically, like today if you tell me that you have to, you know, build a product, I'll automatically, I may have a concept, but I'm automatically thinking about how tangible it is, what is the ergonomic attachment, what is its function, the reality of it.
Yeah, you know, which
I feel like it's lacking in a lot of other design courses.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they remain more superficial and kind of
2D.
2D, like, yeah, you know.
Like go into like a 3D.
Yeah, and like actually being able to, you know, for someone to experience it, for it to actually come into reality. So that I feel like is, I feel that's a big thing that I have gained because of schooling into architecture.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the process, I feel like the one that we learn in architecture school, I feel like it's not only applicable to architecture and built form.
Correct.
It's applicable to art, illustration,
to everything,
furniture
right?
design, lighting, anything, any kind of thing that you're trying to create.
Hmm.
I feel like it can be applicable to that.
Absolutely.
That's the reason why I feel like a lot of architects have the knowledge and sometimes even the confidence to venture out and do something different.
Yeah. And I think that's also why they get recognized.
Yeah,
because you're coming with absolutely fresh ideas. Like, you know what happens, right? When you school in a certain field, Your references are the same. Yeah. Your inspirations are the same. Yeah. You know, so I actually find that it's very difficult for... I think I've taken the easy way out. Go into an absolutely different field and be like, okay, this is my style.
Given the choice, would you go back to architecture school or would you do anything differently?
No, I would definitely go back to architecture school.
Gotcha.
But I think I would still like try to get a little bit of the management or like business angle to... I think like all professional courses, right? Like I think that's such a lack... Like that's a lacuna. I feel like they drill so much subject into you. But then when you actually have to go to the reality of it, you can't actually connect the two, right?
Like, you're lost.
Yeah, you're lost. Mm. And for the longest time, I thought that when I was studying, when I came out, I felt like money was like, you know, that idea of self-worth or like what you're doing actually matters. Or like, how do you use what you have learned into actually converting it? Something that's relevant in the real world, right? So I feel like that as a subject, if it was included in the course... Or then I would like to kind of, you know, I would have studied it. Maybe I will.
Additionally. Business management.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Which is very true. I feel like colleges should include an aspect or at least a subject of entrepreneurship where they're teaching you that, listen, because the reality is that, you know, you will work for a firm if you're doing core architecture.
Right.
But even if you do venture out, you know, you will work for somebody. Right. But it's a creative field. Right. You will work for somebody up till a certain point.
No, and I feel like that is something that should be a given. Like, yes. I feel like no graduate should be allowed to freelance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should definitely, I feel like, go through at least a year of professional experience in another firm because there's so much that you learn. Like, how much I've learned in that, you know, those 2 years of working in a firm is that something that you'll never be able to learn on your own, I feel.
Which is very true because you see the people who are running their own firms and entities on their own and then you draw so much from it. But at the same time, I feel like we should have some, like, maybe one subject in 1 year and one semester.
Correct.
Which is dedicated to telling you that, okay, this is how it is. We do have professional practice.
Which is such a joke, right?
It's a joke.
Yeah. No, it's such a joke.
It's
I feel like I have slept through most of those lectures.
Really?
Or bunked them.
Yeah, I know.
Or, you know, just kind of like swallowed this information and then spat it out in the exam just to kind of clear. But that's the sad part. Like, that's the reality of it, I think. Then that's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when I was thinking about it also, like, I feel like professional practice. There's one bit of it where, you know, you can train the student or like to how to get out there. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like another part of your professional practice is your internship, right?
Yeah.
And the sad part is that we don't get placements from college, right? Yeah. So then technically what do you do in an internship? You end up making those toilet drawings, working drawings or elevations.
Some people don't even get that. Some people are
just making coffee.
Coffee or even they start working on like competitions where it's like word working drawings doesn't even
come in, right? Uh-huh. So I think there should be like maybe this is an onus of the course in itself to kind of structure what actually, you know, your internship should
entail,
right? Yeah. Like there should be some amount of in like, you know, importance given to working drawings because I feel like you have to kind of start at the base. Yeah. And then there should be something where, you know, it there's a client interaction, there's a site understanding, there is, you know, just this importance of writing an email that's what you're represented by.
I mean, right after professional practice, I feel like it's boring because it teaches you this act and that
it's so dry.
It's very dry. In fact, I feel like this subject has a potential to bring in and attract so many other people who have been maybe bunking college for the last 4 years.
Correct.
And they're finally coming into college and say that, hey, you know what? They're teaching us how to actually do a hands-on thing. And, you know, they're bridging that gap. I've heard that in college, there are, you have to do working drawings. You have to do this, client interaction, email. I feel that is there. It exists. But it's not being implemented and seen
correct.
Through.
So, like, the seriousness maybe then that's attached to it needs to kind of, you know, change.
And maybe part of the onus is onto the architecture community.
I feel like it is. And then, like, the college can actually come in or the university can come in and actually, you know, shortlist firms which are able to dedicate that type kind of time.
Absolutely.
So, then, you know, then college placements make sense because then you're sure that your student who is graduating has actually all these knowledge.
Absolutely.
You know, all these
kind of... Absolutely. I feel like, and that would kind of regulate the number of students who are studying architecture also.
Correct.
I feel like people are like graduating in hordes. Hundreds and thousands.
COA ka degree de dete hain, wo license, and then you can do whatever you want. One more thing that I just wanted to add is that this lack of research, like I feel like because we don't have textbooks, right? We don't study out of books, like as opposed to other kind of, you know, courses.
Yeah, which I think we should.
We should. And especially in the day and age we live in right now. Usme, like you go on the internet, you'll in 5 minutes you can land with like enough information to make some, you know, tweak it and make some kind of...
In fact, that is, I remember very clearly having this memory going down to the computer lab in college. And we used to get a project and nobody would submit it. And on the day of the submission, you would find everyone in the computer lab.
Correct.
Copy-paste. Correct. And they're just like, okay, fine, ban gaya hilo.
Yeah.
Which is like... I mean, that is where the problem with research is. No? Yeah. Like, you don't give it enough importance.
And because we have access to so many different avenues to consume content, that this idea of like going to the library and actually researching is, so I think that there should be like 10 books which you have to have, you know, not just read, but like actually, you know, like analyzed and understood after you've come out of architecture.
Yeah, I feel like even with subjects, very technical subjects, like even building construction, I feel like...
Yeah, like there what are is no that? I don't think I've ever used any of those joineries I drafted.
I agree, I mean... Yeah.
You know, like...
It's true. This actually brings me to a question that I had in mind. So do you think in architecture school, because the focus, there's so much focus on technical subjects like design and building construction, that anyone who has a different interest, like for example, you had interest in illustration, that gets fizzled out. And that is why architecture colleges kind of imply that when you graduate, you will do core architecture.
How many people really end up doing architecture, right? Like for you to get an architecture project, how much time does it take after graduation?
Quite a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time, right? So what do you end up doing if you're within the field? You end up doing either interior design or like product furniture, you know, something related to the field. But because also we live in cities, right? So there is no real scope, especially in Bombay. There's no scope for architecture. I mean, I don't disagree with the fact that I feel like there should be that kind of technical, like that emphasis on technical education. Because otherwise then, I think what you're giving the student is not as comprehensive. Because then it's kind of very open-ended. Na, fir toh tum ye, this also you can do. Ye bhi tum kar sakte ho. You know, it's very kind of... Yeah. So I like the sense that there's a structure. But what I feel like in subjects like construction and stuff like that, those joineries are just, you know, like you have to, like those things you tick off, those are the things that they're teaching you.
Yeah, I think it needs to become a little more relevant.
And more practical, right? Yeah, like, I don't think I ever see those. Or if there are, then take us to those places and show them to us. Because that's when I'll understand the actual distribution of load or where actually, you know, I have to reinforce something.
Yeah, I mean, I was having this conversation with one of my friends and we were like, you know what? We had a semester on, which was called work thinking with the hands. So that in itself is a very important concept that I feel 100% that needs to get into architecture education. I feel like, I think till about second year, we are like 2D based. Even though we are making models, you know, it's mostly the expression is on... In two dimension,
yeah.
Even though the model is there.
Right.
So I just feel like you think better when you're working with your hands. So along with, you know, 2D drawings that we do in building construction.
Correct.
I feel like you just said that, you know, you need to go and see it, and touch and feel. Yeah. Like, okay, this is what a, you know, dovetail joint looks like. Like, what is it? How
but
do you...
But, you know, honestly, also, like, that is okay. Like that. But also, like, you know, there are a lot of improvisations that happen on site.
Yes, yes.
Right? And... Yeah. Those things you're completely
clueless about
right? Yeah. So I think there should be an effort to educate somebody who is probably going to practice into, you know, understanding those joineries and those kind of details. And I think there should be a separate segment, which I really missed, is like understanding traditional methods of construction. Like, I'm sure they also had to deal with the same load issues. They had to deal with the same challenges that we do, right?
Yeah. Even but more, I feel. I even mean, their more. Challenges were greater because they didn't have the technology.
The tools at all.
All the tools.
Right? So, and some of the materials that we have kind of gotten the chance to work with. They
or
didn't.
Even created.
Created, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, you know, like as a responsibility, you know, you feel like you're contributing to the larger kind of picture of design in the country, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if it's standing for something, it should come from something that is relevant to you, no? Like
very
you can't
true,
just
very true. Yeah.
Go and make these space frames or just learn about them and
yeah,
be like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And have no context
no
to
context
it.
No context to
yeah,
it, right?
Like, okay, fine, we're making it. And also I feel like the interest goes away, you know, when you take away context.
Correct.
You'll be like, why am I doing this?
Because half your education, you're taught about keeping the site in mind, all the context, everything,
yeah, yeah,
all
exactly.
these influences.
Yes,
but when you come on actual building technology, you're not actually talking about context at all.
Yeah.
And
true.
I think that if that really works, then that can evolve into an absolutely like a new style, which can, you know, maybe that could be the, you know, the lack of a better word, the Indian kind of aesthetic.
I feel like the external influences have taken precedence over what we have historically and the kind of heritage we have. Yeah,
and I know people are doing this at smaller kind of scales
but
the people who have the money and the access are not.
So when did you decide to move away from core architecture?
I don't think I've ever moved away from it. Like, I've just realized that the scale that I enjoy working with is much smaller. It's in the details. So for me, I'm still practicing architecture because architecture for me is like space. Okay, it's what the space gives to me or like, you know, within function and within reason, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm trying to work in a smaller scale with the details and just figuring out the scale that I feel like I enjoy and I can kind of contribute. And the reason why I was telling you, like, we've also have a separate arm, which is kind of interior, product, space, kind of that centric, is because you've studied for 5 years, you've studied a field for 5 years. And how much ever you've hated it in that entire kind of, you know, journey, eventually it's part of you, right?
Yeah,
you
cannot. It becomes you. You become it. It becomes
it
you.
It becomes you. Especially when something that's so engaging, right?
Yeah,
like it's
so
hard.
Intense.
Yeah,
also.
It's such an intense course, right?
Yeah.
So it's been 3 years now since I've been doing Kalakari Hath. I started to miss, you know, this whole like the third dimension in some sense. You know, although it's always there when you're imagining and thinking about things.
Yeah.
But you end up, you want it back. Like
I
you
totally
want...
understand what you're talking about. Right. I've been preparing for a master's. I feel less relevant. If I'm not doing working drawings or if I'm not into the whole architecture scene, I feel like I'm becoming irrelevant for some
reason.
Yeah. I think it's just
you're losing touch with.
Yeah.
So, but the good part is that within design, because it's so vast, right?
Yeah.
You can constantly switch between disciplines.
Hmm.
It's like that. And it's the beauty is when you can integrate them together.
Yeah.
So that's that effort. Like we're actually formally called it In Situ by Kalakari Hath, which is all about like crafting in place, right?
Okay.
And we're looking at just crafts. And that's when I'm bringing in this whole research of my thesis and trying to reevaluate the work we're doing by mapping it in that same kind of matrix.
When you decided to take up illustration as a profession, was there an advisor with you or did you maybe talk to your parents for advice?
Yeah. So nobody in my family is from the design industry. My parents are from the medical industry.
Oh, okay.
My mom's a PhD in nutrition and my dad used to work for Pfizer, like in the pharmaceutical world.
Yeah.
And my sister is a gynecologist. So no sense of design anywhere in this entire kind of, you know, family.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm the one who's like... sitting alone by myself on dinner table conversations, like, you know, what's going on? Maybe fortunately or unfortunately, like, I didn't really get immediate advice from, you know, like, who do you go to for advice?
Could
your
who
parents...
did you go to when you wanted to do...
I still went to my parents.
But
the good part is that they've always encouraged me to do whatever I was doing. The fact that I could sit and draw in my mom's college for all those hours.
Yeah.
And then my dad used to, you know... after half day work, go and drop me to art classes, bring me back. My mom was always trying to, you know. She always tried to help me, you know, take my this whatever hobby or talent that I had to, like, you know.
The next level.
To the next level, in whichever way that she could.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's something that I've always got from my parents. And for me, I think that was kind of enough. Like, I
obviously,
just...
obviously, it's an...
yeah, you know, yeah, like, just that confidence
that...
I remember, when I quit my job. So, I was also, again, we're all torn out to, like, decide between, should I still work more or should I do my master's? Like, you know, how should it kind of go?
That point.
That point,
yeah.
And by this time, I was in invested in Kalakari Hat for like a year at least, freelance, right?
Okay.
So I remember there was this whole conversation at home. And my chacha, everyone, they were just sitting down. And everybody, I come from a very academic-oriented family. So I'm the only graduate, basically. So they have all, you know, like, what are you doing? You can easily do your master. I'll always come back to this and things like that. And just somewhere in my heart, I felt like,
no,
I can't come back to this.
Yeah.
If I have to do it, I have to do it now. Because I whatever groundwork I've done till now will just, if I'll get out of the system for like the next 2 or 3 years.
It'll shift.
And deep down, I know I'm this person. So whether I come back to it like 5 years also, I'll have to redo this groundwork. I'll end up doing the same thing only. So my mom was the one who was like, you know, if you really believe it, then just do it.
Go for it.
Just go for it.
Go for it.
You know, what can go wrong? You can always come back to take another job.
As most of our listeners know, we've been running a Keto crowdfunding campaign to raise funds and capital to produce season 2. We'd like to take a few seconds to thank all our contributors to help us raise enough capital to be able to produce season 2.
So where did the name Kalakari Hat come from?
The name, basically, I remember the first project I ever did was in my office only.
Okay.
One of my colleagues was she used to bake.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so she used to make these like cakes in a jar or whatever. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm going to do an exhibition or something.
Yeah.
Or for some reason, she needed someone to do these stickers and her logo and basically her packaging.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'll pay you this much, but would you be interested in doing this?
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So I took it up.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, I know I'm not paying you much, but I'd like to put your name in that you've done, the creatives.
Oh. Okay.
Right? So she had to print her bags. Okay.
Yeah.
And she's like, I need a name. Can you just do it? Like, you know, so she put a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah.
And during this time, I was revisiting my postcards from my thesis.
Achha.
And trying to use like some graphic on my own. Like I've been very self-motivated. Like I don't need someone to come and tell me that do this. So I remember I was just playing with these, and then I had called these postcards. I said, okay, at some point I'll launch these postcards as Kalakari Hat postcards or something like that. Also because my thesis was called The Hidden Hands, Refiguring the Role of the Architect and the Craftsman. So somewhere I wanted to kind of translate that.
So what is the illustration style you have? What influences does that have?
So it's largely just the fact that I loved drawing with pen.
Okay.
Okay. And every medium has its own kind of, it's got its own limitations, right? So pen's nice for, you know, a lot of lines and dots and things like that. And then I used to, like I said, we traveled a lot in our study trips. And it's something I used to love to draw. Like we drew out of coursework only we had to draw. And then I started drawing in my travels as well. So the style, there was one influence was the medium, right? Like the pen that I really enjoyed working with, the tiny little, you know, details. And which again, then I tried to kind of relate to inspiration from the kind of Indian
so what kind
know,
of
art
Indian,
forms.
Indian art forms do you draw inspiration
so large from? Amount of influence has been from Gond art, which is from central India, right? And it's a tribal art. It's like these morphed forms of nature. So it's basically like, you know, any form of art, any form of visual is like a way of telling a story. So that's the core of it. Like how the tribal, you know, groups actually told their what they saw and experienced, you know, in their journeys. And what was lovely about it was that it was never shown in its truest form. So it was like an abstracted version of it.
It's like it has a sense of abstraction, but it's also real in terms of context.
So it's like design along with illustration altogether, which is already there, you know.
Where did you come across it first?
It always kind of was there, and then I actually saw it and got a name from it. I think the first project also that I did, which, you know, was one of the first times when it was acknowledged as something that is real or like a legitimate kind of profession, was based in Gond art only. It was for a sample flat for one of my seniors. And he was also handed down that project on a very tight timeline from someone, one of his friends. And he called me up and he's like, listen, I know you can do art and all of these. So please just meet me. Let's discuss. And he's like, you know, the I don't have time, so I can't really do much with the house and space. But I feel like if you just, if we do some artwork, it'll really change the way the space
looks and feels.
So you know, you don't generally get such an open-ended brief. So he's like, just do some.
The very lucky few come across this kind of a brief, otherwise right? It's very specific.
So I was like, okay, I'm actually researching on this art form. And he said, okay, it looks really nice. Let's kind of take it forward. And that's when I actually started drawing it. And that's when I got into it. And then it kind of, we use them as decals. We kind of use them as tattoos, right? And then we put them out on social media and showed people that I say, yes, we've done this.
Yeah.
And people loved it. Like, people have just, like, responded. Like, you know, this image of, like, this modern sofa, but having this, these two deer kind of, and people couldn't imagine. Like, you know, sometimes it's that also, right? I think that is what pushed me further into it. And then we did so many projects in that style.
This was in, when you were working?
No. This was after I was working. So for a long time when I was working, it's been 3 years. So out of which a little bit less than 2 years was I was independent. It was me. Just me and my whatever teams of production people. Abhi, it's been about one and a half years since we've got a team and
I was asking about the influence was because when you're aware of the kind of, you know, the influence you have, like I was drawn to Chettinad architecture.
Correct.
Before I create something for whatever project that I'm doing, I would like, you know, the general thing is to go and research and read a little bit about it and then get influence from that.
Correct.
So I was wondering, in your style, did the research come first or did the implementation come first and then you kind of did the research and enhanced it a little bit more?
I think it's been like a...
back and forth?
Yeah, like also like, I think it was the style. Because I'm not formally trained to express in a certain way. Whatever way or medium or style I have is something that I wanted to draw.
Achha.
And then once I knew like, okay, I can do this, then how can I connect it to something that I believe in? So then I went back to research on it. And what's lovely is, which also is something that, you know, is as a style, is that we're trying to say something through every illustration.
There's a story. Yeah.
Which is lovely about all of our art forms, right? Like miniature was like the first few kind of methods of telling stories, right? To Madhubani, to Kalamkari, to, you know, Gondhat. All of these are saying something. Yeah. They're depictions of
stories.
Yeah.
And situations.
Know, and situations. So it's a great way of, you know, like rather than going into those Japanese graphic novel kind of angle. This is such an like an interesting way of, you know, telling like a tale, but in a very kind of local language.
Local language, yeah. The word that we're looking for is local.
Local, yeah.
So during your evolution of your art and your illustration, what were a few landmark points where you got the confidence to say that, you know what, yes, now if I want to, I can venture out? Like one of those being your thesis project. So what were the other few landmark moments that led you to launching Kalakari Haath full force?
Full force.
Yeah.
I think one of it is that I just don't know how to do anything else, right? Like some of it just comes like, it's a habit. Like, you know, you ask me if I'll ever study anything else, I don't think so. Like it's a part of me. Like I don't know any other way of existing, right? So that in itself, to understand and acknowledge it, is a... is a milestone in itself, right?
I agree.
And then to also understand that what is your scale? Like, I feel like the big challenge, which I also see, because we get so many applications for people who want to work with us, is that, like, just, like, young students, because they have studied design, and design is not kind of structured, because it's a very new field.
Yeah.
It's not like fashion, where it's kind of charted out or whatever. It's not such an old field, right? So there is absolutely no structure in it. And usme se then you can constantly like switch. So today I can take 5 projects in graphic design. Tomorrow I can do product. Tomorrow I can do, you know, space design. So to understanding that what your expertise is and kind of committing to it is a milestone. I feel like that is something that's lacking in what I see today. You know, people are constantly like
all over the place.
You know, you're like a nomad, just kind of
trying out everything.
And there's no harm in trying things. Sometimes you learn out of negation, but I feel like at some point you have to commit to it and be like, okay, this is it. Like, you know, and own up to it.
So what was that moment for you?
When I decided to kind of, you know, and it also came from like response, right? After this project, then I started getting projects to work on artwork for spaces. Like, and then it led to this hospital project, which was three floors of a hospital. Yeah. The clients were so nice. Like, they brought me in when they had just done the plastering. And they were just laying the flooring. So they're like, you tell us how you want to bring in art and design into it, and we'll modify the furniture and things like that according to
That's very nice.
So to think about art is not like just hanging a painting up, but as something which is, you know, can impact your design decisions at such a primitive stage in construction.
That's highly considerate of them to invite you and ask you to kind of...
Exactly. And like, touch wood, I feel like I'm lucky that we also do land projects like this.
Yeah.
This is like, when people are trusting so much into you, it gives you that confidence that, you know, maybe what you're doing is...
Is the right thing.
Is the right. Because in design, like how we're saying, like it's not linear, no? Your path is, your trajectory is never... Iske baad ye karna, iske baad, iske baad, iske baad. You know, it's not like one line.
You're
constantly like learning and, you know, you can constantly move between things. So for me also, focus was never ki I want to do this in life. It's also an outcome of things that have happened. So just acknowledging, formalizing, collating those things into like making it like a niche or like a job or like a profession is like another milestone, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, because that comes when I think you worked for a year or two years and then you're like, okay, now I need to sit down and consolidate
what I'm doing,
I've
right?
been doing and what I want to do in the future. I feel like a lot of students especially, they need to do this. I think like a nice time to do this would be maybe thesis time.
Yeah.
Where they kind of reflect on their choices.
Because correct.
Even in architecture school, you know, it's not like it's structured. But it won't push you in one single, singular direction.
Correct.
And say that you have to like this. You know?
But it's also, that's also nice
which
about
is very
it.
Nice, yeah. Which is very nice. So I think like thesis would be a nice time. Like maybe even you reflected on the fact that, you know, this is something that I really wanted to do.
Right.
And that's what led you to, you know, winning a gold medal.
So the thing is that clarity doesn't come so easily. You know, I mean, I've really struggled with it. Like, personally, I have. I think when it does come, there's no shame in, you know, like, acknowledging it and just committing to it. You're not losing out. Like, I feel we're always in this pressure to... Are, but this person is doing this, so maybe, you know, I can do this as well.
Maybe what I'm thinking of is not so relevant. Yeah. And what they're doing is very relevant.
Relevant, so because... You know, this whole social media angle to that he has so much following and he is doing all this.
Yeah.
So maybe that this what he's doing is...
It's very easy to give in to that.
Oh, yeah. 100%, you know. But then to stand on your own, like, is...
It's something else. So I think that's when process, like you said, I think that's when it comes in. And that kind of validates what you're doing. That, you know what? I did go from A to B to C.
Right.
And that's why I shouldn't go to F.
F.
I should go to D.
Correct. I should go to the...
Next step, feels natural to me and not like digress.
To be honest, I feel like at the end of the day, like, you have to sleep with yourself, like, at night, right? So you're not like conning somebody, and I think people can tell.
And actually, you know what? The minute you said that you have, by the end of the day, it's you and you need to be able to sleep peacefully. I can't tell you the number of people who've said this.
Yeah.
Like, even on like record on the podcast. Like, one thing I find common in all entrepreneurs is... That
you have to be honest.
Like, this is one thing. I feel like now in my mind I have established, okay, fine. Entrepreneurship means my, the foundation stone is honesty.
Honesty, I think how long can you fool somebody, right?
Very true. And how long can you do something that you're not really invested
in? Exactly. You'll always do it half-hearted.
If you're not convinced, how do you convince someone else who's trying to give you money?
Exactly.
So when you decided to become an entrepreneur, full-time entrepreneur, did you make a business plan or did you do any financial projections or did you study any part of it to understand how the business end of things work?
So honestly, I didn't imagine it to, you know, get to like, you know, like when I started off, it was just me.
Yeah.
So my initial kind of capital investments were nothing. It was like a laptop and a desk, which was pretty much what I was doing from home, my own room.
Okay.
I think about 2 years... into it. I think a year into it, I had decided that I need my own space because there are a lot of people who want to come and see things, touch, feel, because your presence is primarily online. You know, you want to have samples, you're prototyping, you need a place where I can talk to a vendor.
Absolutely.
And how much of cafes and how much of, you know, restaurants can you do?
Can you do, yeah.
And like, honestly, I can't get my carpenter and talk to him in a restaurant. It's a bit... it's a bit uncomfortable for him as well. And I'm really not for this whole idea of getting interns to work at home. Yeah. Okay, so I like to do things properly.
Yeah, make it official,
right? And I think it comes with a sense of seriousness also then. I remember I waited. We only got a studio about a year and a half ago. Only because I wanted to save up enough rent for an entire year. And I think that was the only financial planning I did.
Achha.
Because I didn't want to land there and then be struggling with just making the bills and just like doing shit work to just, you know,
Survive. Yeah.
And this was a personal call. Like, you know, I know I could have used help for at least a year before I actually got people on board.
Yeah.
And so many people had told me that, you know, why don't you just get some interns? It's okay, you don't need a space. And you know how everyone kind of tells you. But it just didn't feel right to me. So the only planning I did was to make enough money to be able to cover my overheads for a year at least. Mm-hmm. Because that's actually the teething period. Like a year, 2 years is the teething period of any kind of business. That's it. Like, I don't think I took money from even the products that I made even earlier on to that. They were only solely through, like, savings. So I don't think I've ever asked my parents for money. Yeah. And also because, like, my parents come from, like, service industries.
Yeah.
They don't own, like, you know, they don't have this kind of money to just give me, like, or, like, to fund my studio or to let me just have fun with. And I'm sure if I asked them, of course they would.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I'm a little, like, old school like that. Yeah. I like to kind of, you know.
Start independent, be independent.
Be independent.
Yeah. That's a good way to go, I think.
Yeah.
So did you get any kind of advice, business advice from someone?
So my husband, actually, right now, he's been constantly in my life through this entire process. Right? And he's a financial guide, right? Our discussions are, I feel like he's the management end to things in some sense.
Yeah.
So he was the person I went to for some kind of advice because I feel like he has a little bit more knowledge in that sense, or my dad. But no one really has, you know, like a professional. Yeah, you have your CAs and you go to your...
Yeah, obviously. Like, I was generally asking, like, on a personal level.
I think one person who I've been in touch with from the field has been my thesis guide.
Okay.
So he was someone who was my guide in the third year. You know, like, I feel like he just got what I was doing. Like, I don't know, maybe we, you know, like, there
you
are,
have a connection.
Have
with
a connection,
some people,
yeah. And he understood my pace, he understood my strength, and he always pushed, like, to the point he used to defend me in jury.
Yeah.
You know, he's someone I'm still in touch with. You know, like, he would just randomly write me an email saying that, you know, you're doing such good work, I would love to kind of get you on board for one of our projects.
That's so nice.
And that's so nice. It really is kind of, you know, it's like a sense of validation that,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes, yes. Especially when it comes from someone who's taught you.
And is your mentor, like, such a nice feeling.
Yeah. So I think you guys out there listening to this, choose your thesis guides wisely.
Yeah.
So then when you started as an entrepreneur, did you have any difficulty working with clients and explaining to them your sense of style? Obviously, I mean, the people that come to you come with a certain expectation.
Correct.
Even if they have seen your work.
Correct.
So how does that equation work when, as an illustrator?
I think, one, because sometimes when you have a specific style, people already know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So people are also very, because there's so much option out there, so nobody's going to come to you and be like, I want this.
I want,
which is completely alien.
Your style. Yeah.
Alien
yeah,
to
yeah,
your yeah, sense of aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah.
But nevertheless, you do get people who have like a strong sense of, you know, what they want.
Yeah.
And ki aap ye reference bana do bas. Because especially illustration is so visual, na?
Exactly.
But I think it's a conversation. You have to have a conversation. To the point we've actually said no to work.
Achha.
Which doesn't seem like...
It's something that would match your aesthetic sense.
Not match, but I feel like, you know, it comes down to honesty. Like, unless you... Like, not to say that you've not done shit work to just, you know, survive. Like, you have done that. Like, you know, fair bit of it. But when you're trying to establish a practice, you know, you want to stay true to at least what you're standing for. You know, and then if it doesn't, again, if it doesn't come naturally, then it's so kind
it
of, you know,
feel
like,
right.
You're feeling like you're cheating.
Yeah, that's true. So the process that you follow as the owner of Kalakari Haat, is it more of like a collaborative effort, or is it something that it's a process where you put forth, you get a brief and then you put forth your idea and then you kind of keep enhancing it.
Right. So I'll actually just tell you the kind of people we work with, who our clients
are.
Our clients are primarily architects.
Oh, okay.
So 60 or 70% of them are architects and then the rest of them are, you know, individual clients who are approaching you. Also because art is not everybody understands it
and you're not sure.
So you need that middle kind of professional to tell you ki acha yahan pe karna chahiye, you know. And so when it's with an architect, sometimes what happens is now that we have a certain body of work, a lot of people can connect, they don't understand concepts. So they'll be like, okay, this is what we like. Can you just do this for us? Or like tweak it or like modify it or use this as a base and develop further. The other is when you're slightly more informed, like, you know how Nimaya V, the hospital, they had like a sense of a concept that it's a women healthcare hospital and it's a hospital. So include art in a way, make it relevant, you know. So you have a brief and then you kind of abstract from it and it's always a collaboration. You know, sometimes it's between you and the architect because the client doesn't feel comfortable enough to kind of contribute. But sometimes it's between the client and you as well. We recently did one mural, a decal. So we did that for a couple who has just moved into a new house. They love traveling.
Okay.
So they've practically traveled to different parts of the world. And they've collected all these objects through their travel. So they've, in the family room, they've dedicated one wall where they're like, we just want to put up all of these things. Okay, so what the artwork does, it actually becomes like a background or like the backstory brings in a story.
Yeah, that enhances every object.
Kind of tie the objects together. So in that, it's a complete collaboration, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know their story. Yeah. Unless we talk about it every step, it doesn't work.
So now let's talk about failure.
Hmm.
Something that is inevitable.
Right.
It's important.
Correct.
And it happens to everyone.
Yeah.
What was the one challenge, an important lesson you learned after completing 1 year?
Hmm.
What was the one important lesson that you learned?
That, you know, like every idea that comes to you is not worth acting on.
Hmm.
Like I feel like, you know, a lot of times because, oh, you know, I just had this moment, I thought of something. You don't need to pay as much importance unless you analyze it, you know, use logic with it. Because I was young and, you know, trying to just do.
And why I specifically asked year one is because that is the year where I think you managed to sustain that level of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And the reality strikes, but it doesn't strike as hard as it strikes you in year two, two or year three.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Because also in the first year, you're so driven by just ambition, right?
And the idea that you have your own thing. Now. Oh my God, wow.
Yeah. You know, like you'll deal with anything that comes in your way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, all those things.
Yeah.
But then over the period of time, you realize what you know, like you have to balance.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So that's one thing that I feel like, you know, especially as creative individuals, we draw inspiration from everything now because your eye is trained to look at things in a certain
and
way.
And observe.
But that doesn't mean that everything is something that you have to put out there. And like even for us, like I feel like our stationery line was not successful. We tried working with books, notebooks, cards, you know, like tried in a lifestyle kind of product space. And I don't think it worked. I feel like people responded initially well to it. And that's the thing. Like you can, in the age that we are today, you will get responses.
Yeah.
But how much of it actually sustains or it stays consistently is something that's worth evaluating, you know. And that's an idea then you kind of take forward.
Yeah.
Because everything is exciting.
So, Saiba, tell me this. There's one very famous thing and it's something that's kind of coming up these days. Is the concept of failing fast? Do you believe in that concept?
No. I feel like consistency is the most underrated thing in our industry. Unless you actually stick it out. Like, I feel like nobody talks about those parts of your life. If you talk about, like, someone who's really made it in life.
Mm. They'll talk of only the nice parts.
Yeah.
And not
but who's,
talk about
who's talking about those 8 or 10 years that you were actually struggling?
Yeah. And that, I feel like that creates a false image also.
Exactly.
That, you know what? And that's the reason why a lot of young students are like, why have I not succeeded already?
Yeah,
it's been 6 months.
Half your psychological issues, I think, are related to it, right?
Exactly.
And I think it's so, it grounds you to know that this person has been through this, you know, and then he got here. So the journey really, it should kind of be highlighted in its all its phases. Yeah.
So I had this conversation actually with a lot of architects.
Who
are running their firms.
Ha.
And we were talking about switching hats.
Ha.
You know?
Ha.
Being
correct.
A creative, then switching hats with being a business person.
Correct.
So they were like, there's this you know, it's at a struggle. Mm. And I feel like a lot of them said that, you know, that is the part where the real struggle is. It's not about design. It's not about getting a project.
Yeah.
It's not even about getting money. It's about being able to balance it out.
Yeah.
You can't be like, mujhe paisa chahiye all the time. You can't also be like, okay, fine, you know, I'll just do it pro bono. I want to do it for free and all of that.
Yeah.
Like, either of the extreme ends don't work.
They don't work. And I think, but that's something you also learn with time.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the field, you don't understand what it takes. Like, no amount of books or, like, you know, courses can prepare you for what you go through in your journey of actual practice.
As a business
person. As a business person as well. Mm. It's an acquired skill. And some people have the aptitude for it and some people don't. So you have to figure out which person you are and then kind of balance it out.
Yeah, I think that is, this is very important to recognize if, even if
you do or you don't.
You do or you don't. And then maybe if you don't, then you seek out help and be like, hello.
And there's no harm in it.
Of course. I mean, it's about the business by the end of it.
But you know, like, the problem to even acknowledge that is that we as architects are taught to just do everything ourselves.
So I think that's like very problematic with architects.
Yeah.
That.
Because then you can't delegate at all.
It's hard to admit.
And you can't take help.
Yeah. Delegation is a word, yeah. Delegating is very difficult.
It comes
at a very later stage.
And unless you can delegate, you cannot run a business.
Yeah.
And you know, you may also then step down and be able to absorb what the other person can do for you.
Yeah.
Not what you want. Yeah. So even at the studio, it's a collaboration. It's not like I'm running the show.
Right.
We have reviews every few months where we talk about how that other person is gaining from us as much as we are gaining from them.
And that goes to show that you've grown as a business. Why? Because I feel like when the idea strikes you and for any kind of business and you say that, oh, this is the idea, I'm going to work with it. And if it picks up, I feel the sense of ownership becomes so strong.
So strong,
that
yeah.
it becomes so difficult to let go.
Yeah.
And then the whole process of collaboration completely gets kicked out of the
picture. Kicked out. And I really feel like then you don't achieve anything at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you know, this idea that we slogged it out through nights and, like, you know, just killed ourselves. I mean, okay, you did it when you were studying, but I truly believe that that's not the culture we should be working with.
Yeah.
Like, as a rule, we are 10 to 7.
Yes.
You're not supposed to stay beyond 7.
Yeah.
Unless it's like this, like, crisis where, you know, you have to do something. So you can actually ask the employee that we don't work beyond office hours.
Yeah.
It pushes you because, and it's not to say that timelines are not tough. But you have to be productive in that
very
office
true,
period.
Very true. And it's very difficult for people to understand and admit it, because I feel like with social media and all, the level of procrastination that comes in, it's so much that you do end up working extra, and those hours are not really extra hours.
They're not extra hours.
Those are your productive hours.
Correct. So then by saying that, you know, I worked all night today, how much you didn't need to do that if you just worked in the middle in the day.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. So that's very not hard true. Work. Yeah. Wasting up at night is not hard work.
Yeah. We need to redefine what hard work
is. And work is a part of life. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it's not life.
Sahi baat hai. Nahin, it's very true. And, you know, being architects, I feel like there are 2 to 3 schools of thoughts when it comes to this kind of thing. So one school of thought, and which is usually an old school thought, is that, you know, work is life, life is work.
Yeah.
You know, you merge and blend into your work.
But you'll burn out.
You'll burn out. Yeah, that's the thing. And some people, like, there's a school of thought that you're talking about, that, you know what, we need to have strict productive hours, and that's how you work, and that's how you function.
Right.
And it produces more, you do better.
Do better, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there are these two.
So that's another thing. Like, I was a part of the other school of thought. I used to just kill myself.
All of us are, no, in architecture school, aise hi to hota hai. Like, you're up like all nighters and this and that.
Even after school, even with, you know, imagine doing a freelance job with another job and then committing to it full time and then going crazy about, like, just committing to it into a such a level, just like killing yourself for it.
You don't have to kill yourself to be successful.
That's another learning. Like, that's another, you know, thing that you kind of...
That's very interesting. I think it's really important to even put it out there. Yeah. That, you know what? Here I am. I'm running this amazing thing.
Puri raat kaam kiya means like... It doesn't stand for the fact that, you know...
You worked hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very true. So now we move on to the listeners' questions.
Yes.
All right, guys. So as you remember, we put out a post asking you guys to send in questions. So the first question came in from Ira Kataria. And she asks, how did you venture into illustration and still be connected with architecture?
The initial part of our talk has been about the transition.
Right.
Right. But the point that I'll kind of dwell on in this question is more about to do with how you kind of related to or stuck, you know, connected to architecture. And I think it comes largely from this, from your process of how you imagine design translates. So one is, of course, your inspiration. Because so now we're doing, we're using all of Jeffrey Bava and his kind of design languages. But we're trying to incorporate his influences. And because he was quite a...
artist.
His
illustrations are mad.
Yeah, in fact, more than his architecture, I feel like what I actually enjoy about him is the way he expressed materials and, you know, foliage and the emphasis on that. So we are actually trying to abstract from it. So I think largely what you learn, your inspirations never go. Like you can't just disconnect and be like, "Acha, main idhar se, you know, I'll get more."
True, nothing is unique. It's not like you're out there to make an invention. Everything is a discovery.
100%. So like to answer that, your referencing and your influences or your thought process stems out of something that you have studied.
Yeah.
So you're actually not disconnecting from it at all.
Hmm.
Maybe the way you're expressing it is in a different medium.
Yeah. But it is ingrained.
Ingrained in you. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. That's... The next question is, what is the role of history in your work? History or heritage?
Yeah, I think that defines what we're trying to do in any case, right? Like the role of it is just for it to come back and like to, you know, be relevant and be a conversation for not just people like who are, you know, like interested in it, but like everybody. You know, I feel like it's our responsibility even as designers.
To bring it back into common man lingo.
And you know, like not just go crazy about this westernization. I feel like, and I don't have a problem with it. Like honestly, I feel like, you know, the world is advancing and so should we. But I feel like we should carry something of ours with it, no?
Yeah. So the last question is, what were the different stages of growth during the 3 years of your business?
Initially, you're just trying to do as much work as you can, and which I think is a good way also. Like, I feel like it has helped, right? Because then you also know that what you don't like doing.
That's
a good part about...
I feel like the method of elimination...
sometimes works better for creative people, right?
Yes.
So that is, you know, that's been one journey where you're just... one part of it where you're just doing everything. You're just like not... thinking ye mera style hai, ye mein, you know, like none of that. You're just like taking on work and seeing what all you can do. And
yeah, you need to have enough body work to be able
also
to
analyze.
So did you analyze at particular given times or was it like random?
No, I think I did. Like after we did, like there was one analysis when I started with Kalakari Haath. To then to realize ki, you know, I was actually into illustration and composition and this kind of graphic approach to design from much earlier than I formally acknowledged it. So that was one realization. The other realization is that as of now, I feel like my scale is much smaller. I enjoy that detail. The details and things like that. So I want to work at a much smaller scale rather than these large kind of buildings or, you know, things like that. That's another realization. And then, you know, like within the field, because it's so vast, you know, you do like whatever work you kind of get. And I feel like also there's one bit that, you know, you like to do, but also like people tell you when you put it out there, you know, what gets response. Like I know what got response and what didn't get response.
Right.
Because people can also sense a little, like, your honesty.
Yeah.
So they also...
they can sense it completely.
Completely, right?
Yeah.
So they also inform you as to what you're doing right and maybe what is good you know, for mm-hmm. you. So that's also another way of, I think, feedback is like, I mean, not to like overindulge into it, but I feel like it you do realize.
From time to time, you should kind of sit down and kind of reflect on what you did.
Yeah, and I feel like it's lovely to actually talk to people who are absolutely not related from the field. The next milestone was actually getting people, developing a team, you know, because you need to really find your people.
Yeah.
So we're about four of us at the studio right now.
Acha.
There is, we have designers and we have architects, the full-time kind of employees.
Okay.
And it's me. Uh-huh. Right? And we have complete projects that we handle.
Right.
Right? So, but it's all, because it's a tight studio, we're always having conversations. It's it's kind of...
It's like a team collaborative kind of thing.
Acha.
And is there like a separate team dedicated to implementation? Or
there
is
a separate... So we have our own production teams.
So thanks, Aiba. Thank you for coming
today.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, so did I actually.
I'm glad we did this.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys, for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did recording it.
Yes.
And before we let you go, we would like to let you know that we are on Instagram and Facebook. So please follow us there. Our content is on Apple Podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, Castbox, Radio Public, and Stitcher. So you can download any of these applications from your Play Store or App Store and subscribe to our channel. So every time we have a new episode coming out, you can be notified. Yeah, that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. And we will see you next Friday. Have a great day. Bye-bye.